Hello, friends. I am not Daisha, in case you're wondering. On Friday, the elders heard that she was ill with COVID, and so she was unable to preach this morning. So for some reason, which I'm about to recount for you, I said, oh, I'll preach. This, however, is not a sermon, as we normally accept those things to be. This is more of a story by an old white guy about how this past week he had a transformative moment. That's it. It's just going to be a story. Now, it's a story that has three events this past week, three scriptures we've just had read, and three ideas. Three events: a Wednesday morning service of the Eucharist, an elders meeting on Wednesday night, and a meeting with my spiritual director on Thursday evening. Three scriptures, you've heard them read: Psalm 90, 2 Corinthians 4, and Colossians 2. And then three ideas: warning, the Messiah, and us, you and me. This week did not start well for me. I woke up Sunday morning with a pain in my right shoulder. Not unusual. I often wake up with a new pain or ache or something. But this one, I see that hand, but it had never hurt quite as badly. It was a sharp, stabbing pain in my shoulder that actually sort of made my legs give way a little bit, so I had to watch myself during the day. And Monday was no better, and I was becoming very upset. I was angry, and I got to the point of despondency, truth be told, deeply discouraged. Many of you know that I try to exercise and eat well and stay healthy. And here I am, hardly moving. Or if I do, especially on this side, I have to sit down and breathe. What in the name of... Boy, I was mad. I was supposed to be doing all the right things and still suffering like this. So I was ticked off. Jeannie suggested on Wednesday morning, I go to the Eucharistic service that is held on Wednesdays at noon by the Incarnation Anglican Church at the Greenbrier Baptist Church. So I went. First event. First scripture. The psalm that was read for that service was Psalm 90. And when it got down to verse 10, well, let me read this passage that nailed me, okay? Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm 79. I'll be 80 in 6 months. What's going on here? If my strength endures, and yet best of them are but trouble and sorrow. I am suddenly thinking that this passage was meant for me, for that day, for this moment. I was suffering, you see, the consequences of my own idolatry. It's a thin line. I've often shared this with some of you. It's a thin line for me, anyway, between faithful stewardship of health an idolatry of my body. And I realized, trouble and sorrow is what I get after trying to be so faithful, to eat right, to exercise regularly. And then verse 11, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. God's wrath is always embedded in his love, because he's always warning us. God warns us, if you do it your way and not mine, there are consequences. Please do it my way so you can flourish. Because if you don't, you'll pay the price. I was suffering the wrath of God because of my idolatry. And when I heard these passages read from Psalm 90, in verse 14, let me read it for you, and then it's hard to explain what actually happened, because it's hard to explain how I felt something so deeply, but the verse is, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, and in the translation that was used during the service of the Eucharist, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing mercy. You know, your mercies are new every morning, that sort of idea. That we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. When I heard that, it was like inside my chest, there was sort of like a, it was sort of an expansion of, it's hard to explain. It was, I guess, joy or peace. I just felt light all of a sudden. Because I realized, Jerry, you've been focusing on yourself, and every morning you get up worrying about how you're going to feel. And instead of seeing the mercies of God and counting them. Okay, friends, I'm right in the middle of this spiritual practice, okay? Of counting the mercies of God when I get up in the morning. I've been doing that since Wednesday. How's it going, Jerry? Well, since my pain has only gradually dissipated, the first couple of days, Thursday and Friday morning, it was tough because, you know, I wanted magic. I wanted, okay, I'm going to thank you, God, for health. I'm going to thank you for Jeannie. I went all through the mercies of God, our family, my kids, my boys, my grand, blah, blah, blah. Still hurt. Still, it did not go away. That was not the magic word. Because, see, what I heard Jesus say later in the day, it's in the midst of your suffering that I am merciful. It is in the midst of your complaining and despondency that I am with you. That's my mercy, to never leave and forsake you. Okay, I must admit that it takes practice to keep doing that. I also want to, that it's feeling better this morning. So I'm able to sort of talk a little bit like, okay, that's something in the past, and so now I can tell you with a good ending. But you know what's coming again. And the discipline, right? The discipline for us, the discipline for us is to do it in the midst of our mundane life of suffering and of frustration and of... So that's the first thing. And I want to remember how I felt during that Eucharistic service. I want to keep going back because when we were taking communion, Amy's homily had to remind us of the fact that God is making all things new, that we now are, in fact, part of his new creation. In the Corinthians passage that we read. Oh, no, I'm sorry, in the Colossians passage, in 2 Colossians 2 and in the ninth verse. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. It's already happened. That is hard for me when I'm in pain. But it doesn't change the fact. Christ is beginning a new work in us, in me, a new creation. And when I took the Eucharist, the bread and the cup that afternoon, it was like I was taking on in my body the spirit of Christ's flesh and blood, and that he was infusing my flesh and blood, exchanging my body for his. It's hard to explain, isn't it? But I felt such peace, rest. My shoulder was still hurting, but for some reason, it didn't matter. Okay, now, this isn't going to happen all the time. This is not it's not magic, is it, friends? It takes practice. It takes taking communion regularly. It takes understanding that we in Christ have been fully found and full of his Spirit. So that second event was Wednesday night with the elders meeting, and I was tasked with the devotion for that day. So the second and third scripture were introduced to me that evening. The second scripture, 2 Corinthians, was from the lectionary, Book of Common Prayer for the Wednesday evening devotional. So I used that for the devotional that we had with the elders. And as you know, as many of you know, 2 Corinthians and Colossians, those two letters of Paul are like mirrors of each other. They're very similar, cover the same material, and they kind of talk about the same issues in different ways. And so I picked Colossians 2, 8 to 10 as a parallel with 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 6. So as we were sharing with the elders, we were trying to think, okay, as we meditated on it and thought about it, we were thinking, what does it mean for me as an individual follower of Jesus? And what does it mean for us as elders trying to lead this congregation? And so we just meditated on three things. Both passages have three ideas. The first idea is warning. The second idea is Messiah. And the third idea is you, or plural you, us. So we meditated on them for ourselves and for our faithful stewarding of our leadership with you. What I'm going to share is what I have reflected rather than the other elders. I'll let them speak for themselves. Warning. And even if our gospel is veiled, 2 Corinthians, the third verse, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. I was wondering, how have I been deceived by the God of the age to believe that my true identity is in what I feel in my body rather than in the new creation that Jesus longs to bring to pass in my body? How might we, I was thinking, how might I as an elder, or we as an elder, help all of us, keep us from being deceived by the God of the age? Second idea is Messiah. In 2 Corinthians, it goes this way. The glory of Christ, who is the image of God, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus Christ, for Jesus' sake. The glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And in the Colossians passage, the parallel thing is, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Messiah. I had forgotten already that I had eaten at noon the previous day Christ's body and had received his blood in the cup. I was refreshed that night as we were meditating in this passage that, yes, God is doing a new thing in me. He is not only changing me spiritually, but he is actually changing my body. And that I can look forward to the reality of the new creation that has begun already in my flesh, but that is coming and guaranteed coming in the new heavens and the new earth, guaranteed by the work of the Spirit. already alive in me, in us. See, I'm not my own. My body is not my own. I've been bought with a price. Jesus gives me his body for my body. New creation is guaranteed even in the midst of my aches and pains. And I wonder, how might I so live, and then with the other elders so lead, that all of us together display the joy of new creation in both our personal lives and in the life of this congregation. Joyfully taking up our cross to follow Jesus for the sake of others. Wouldn't that be cool? And finally, the third idea, you or us. The light of Christ shines in our hearts as we grasp the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus. Wow, what a sentence. It's magnificent, isn't it? What does it mean? Yeah. We were reflecting on it as elders. What does that mean? Meditating on it. Trying to enter into it. Trying to allow it to grip us. And I needed to remember again the Colossians passage that I've already been brought to fullness in the Messiah. So am I living in the light of the cross, in the light of my redemption, in the power of the resurrection? Well, I can remember last past week moments when I was. That moment of at the Eucharist. That moment when I heard the words read from Scripture. When despite the pain that was still there, it didn't seem to matter. But I was kind of awash with gratitude and thankfulness for the mercies of God in my life. I think we, all of us elders, and I think all of us together in this congregation, we want to display the joy of living before the face of Jesus in gratitude and in peace. I just want to take that noon experience, take it with me into my everyday life. The third event was my meeting with my spiritual director on Thursday night. I told him the story I just told you. And he said, Jerry, you've got to tell other people about this. You got to tell other people about this. Why? Well, it's good for you, because if you tell it, it'll, you know, become more concrete in your own memory. But God does not give us these kinds of experiences for ourselves. They're for others. You got to pass it along. You got to let people know. So see then on Friday. I mean, yeah, I really didn't have much of a choice. Oh, I'll preach. And part of me was yelling, no! When you get to be of a certain age, you realize that you cannot remember certain words in the middle of a sentence. And frankly, I was scared. Now, right now, I'm pretty at peace because you guys are going with me, and I love it. But so thank you. But in preparing for this, I was, what if I get up there and I don't remember what to say? I don't. And of course, Jesus reminded me, Jerry, this is not about you. Oh, yeah, that's right, okay. So what's the bottom line, at least for me? The bottom line was I found myself asking, can I so receive Christ's body and blood in the Eucharist with thanksgiving for his self-giving love on the cross that I can navigate my despondency and my despair in the midst of my bodily pains in the light of God's glory for the sake of others? Can I do that? That's what I want. And I have experienced it in short moments this past week, and I just want to let you know that. So all of us can try to learn together, perhaps, what it means to press into living today in the new creation by the Spirit's guarantee of the coming new heavens and new earth. These last few days have been transformative for me. I trust God's Spirit might set all of us free in ways that we as elders and as congregation together will learn how to display to our friends and neighbors here on the hill and in our different neighborhoods in the challenges of our everydayness, our everyday lives, the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus the Messiah. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, would you seal into our hearts those things that you want us to recall? And would you help us by your power step more fully into the fullness that we already have in Christ? And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.